taste of blood to terrorize your neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found without the soul for getting down must stand and face the hounds of hell and rot inside a corpse's shell.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
A warning, another cut to move on, another beat that's so strong, hold on, and I get wicked in this song. Stir up shit as the whip gets wisdom. P-Bo coming up, I'm straight low, pro black and it ain't no joke, coming straight from the mob that broke shit last time. Now I'm back with a brand new sick grind, so black check time and tempo, revolution ain't never been simple, following a path for my own phenomenon. Just build your brain and we'll soon make progress, paid your dues, don't snooze or lose, they came with the master plan and got you, so know who's opposed to the dominant dark skin. Food for thought is a law for the brother man. Gift from heaven, temple.
16.7 keeps you locked in time with the program. When I get wild, I'll pile on dope jams, then spit on your flag and government. Cause help the black was a concept never meant. Nigga, please, food stamps and free cheese can't be the cure for a sick disease. Just the way the devil had planned it, raped and pillage everyone on the planet, and give them fake gods at odds with all law. Love thy enemy and all that hoopla. Here close the words I wrote. Crack cocaine, the genocide of black folk. Who in their right mind ever could have missed this? Damn right, when you think seditious and I move swiftly, you can't get with me. The 666 move quick but miss me. When I came off involved in conscious, so don't ask why next time I start this. Freestyle, I build and fill your mind up with know-how, a common sense, a defense. The next time a pig try to step to this, listen, never let someone whoop on you that don't belong to the set you from you. Can't be intrigued by the leads a pig lead unless you don't give a fuck to be free. Keep stomping on them, keep stomping. Attitude, but I ain't from Compton. I can't be fucked around, I'm muffed around, I can't be held down. Check the sound and keep in tune on point on target. The revolution won't be thwarted. A setback, cause my man is plain to see. Must in a white supremacy, so let the rhythm roll on when I kick this. Brother's gonna work it out with a quickness, and now you know just why a panther went crazy. The devil made me.
African school, fuck what Mungo Park and the fool. They said they fire it for night. Yeah, they been lying to you. Ain't no denying the truth. See what I'm trying to do. It's draw the line for the mothers crying. We're dying as youth. Come walk a mile in my shoes. See if you smile at the truth. See if you die just you fool. That's when you might have a clue of what the fuck we go through. You're fucking lucky if you live through the day. Better pray that God always stay with you. Ain't fucking safe any day. The reaper be coming for you. We need a change and it ain't no way I'ma take an excuse. My niggas finding a way. Or fucking smile in the grave. This is the price that you pay. We are the monsters you made.
Calling me a monster, calling us fake. You make the monitor, the dinosaur wake. Calling me a monster, just cause we say. No way, no way, no way. Calling me a monster, make the mistake. But there's only so much that you can take. La di da 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 di da 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 di. We are the monsters you made.
Since we met you people 500 years ago, look at us. We've given everything. You are still taking. In exchange for that, we have got nothing. Nothing. And you know it. But don't you think that this is over now? Over where? Is it over?
On the foggy hill rock stood a crazy little demon blowing his top. Fire in his eyes and smoke from his head. You gotta be real cool to hear the words he said. He did a he had steam in his soul for the one he loved, so he had death on his mind cause my demon let him go. Gonna run through the world till he understand his pain. Somebody help him get his demon home again. He did a he made the sky turn green, he made the grass turn red, he even put pretty hair on grandma's bald head. He made the moon up, he even pushed back time. Took the fruity out of fruity, had the devil drinking wine. He did a she finally got across to the crazy little demon that a woman still a boss. Down in the valley on the foggy hill rock, you can see a little demon blowing his top. He did a he pushed back night, bought in afternoon. He even made leap year jump over the moon. He took the 4th of July and he put it in May. He took this morning, bought back yesterday. He did a
don't you mind people grinning in your feet? Don't mind people grinning. I'll say but bear this in mind, a true friend is hard to find. Don't you mind beaver grinning in your feet? You know your mother will talk about you. Yes, your sisters and your brothers too. You know, don't care how you're trying to live, they talk about you still. Oh, but bear this in mind, a true friend is hard to find. Don't you mind beaver grinning in your face. You don't have a grin in your face, and they'll jump you up and down just as soon as your back could turn. They'll be trying to crush you down. Yes, but by this in mind, a true friend is hard to find. Don't you mind me running in your feet. I'll be right back.
And we're back with Black on Black on Black. If you don't know me, I'm D Fantastic. And that was Sun House, who was playing Grinning in Your Face. Very awesome song. Edward James Sun House Jr. was an American Delta blues singer, guitarist. He was extremely emotional in his singing. His slide guitar playing was fucking awesome, which you just heard. And he actually used to do he used to do a lot of secular music as a preacher, and then as a pastor, and then he turned to blues like every other dude did in the early 1900s. and so, yeah, I think it's really profound when you listen to Sun House, because he's got this really just deep blues sound from the Mississippi. And so check him out if you can. It feels very reminiscent of, like, you know, like one of his first records was literally issued at the start of the Great Depression. So, like, if you're like, you know what, I need something to just shake me up, listen to Sun House. But also, he lived until he was 86 years old. I don't know what it is about blues singers, or something, no matter how much booze they drink, how much traveling they did, how much partying they did, they fucking lived to like 100 years old. It's wild. Like, I think I was talking about Minnie Memphis earlier. Yeah, like, she died when she was 76 years old. Like, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's amazing. I obviously need to get into blues, because that will extend my life. But you're listening to Black on Black on Black, and we're doing a very spooky special episode. And we're going to talk about some of my favorite just black horror entertainment. One of the first things that I want to just say is that black horror entertainment to me was long overdue. I mean, as a black person, I mean, just facing the horrors of everyday microaggression, downright racism, misogynoir, like all of that is just difficult and frightening. And so the fact that black horror, I think, is really, really started to come up during my lifetime is huge. I feel like an ongoing joke when I was growing up was, like, black people just didn't watch, like, horror movies because our lives were scary enough. That, like, you know, like, yeah, like, we didn't need the rush of watching, you know, some dude just, like, rip somebody to shreds, because we had to deal with cops driving very slowly behind us all the time. And so the concept of horror by black creators, I think, has definitely been underplayed. And so I'm excited to kind of talk about, like, horror and the themes that comes up, especially from black creators. So definitely want to, first, of course, those who don't know me, I am a huge reader, and so I wanted to talk about The Ballad of Black Tom, and this is by Victor Laval. He wrote this in 2016, and so it's a novella that actually reimagines H.P. Lovecraft's, sorry y'all, there's some asshole racing in the background. No one likes your car, dude. Everyone thinks you have a small dick. Anyways, Ballad of Black Tom is a novella that reimagines H.P. Lovecraft's short story, The Horror at Red Hook. And so they take that story from a black perspective, and he obviously mixes it in with cosmic horror and just the real reality of black oppression in 1920s Harlem. And it actually won the Shirley Jackson Award and the British Fantasy Award, praised for reclaiming, like, what could be a racist narrative and creating a powerful critique of Lovecraftian horror. So H.P. Lovecraft, which my cat is actually named after, is like the godfather of what I would consider modern day horror. Like a lot of cosmic horror, ethereal horror, all of that is kind of come out of Lovecraft. And it's crazy because he wrote some absolutely terrifying stories, some of which are my favorite, like The Color from Outer Space. I mean, in his heyday, and he was born poor and died poor. Like, he did not make any money at all, which is great because the dude was kind of a shithole. And so, you know, win on that part. But excellent writer, and his, like, Lovecraft, you see the cosmic horror all throughout today's horror. Like, Alien, H.R. Giger's, like, design of the actual xenomorph, definitely Lovecraftian. If you've watched, like, any sort of horror movie where, like, the cosmic kind of, like, unknown and, like, greater being, something beyond your comprehension is just on you, and you kind of feel like, you know, your fate is just up to whatever, definitely Lovecraftian. So, and a lot of tentacles. Lovecraft was like, terrified of tentacles, which is hilarious to me, considering Bad Dragon. But anyways, so Lovecraft is well known, and he was obviously had some issues. And the horror at Red Hook, which is what the Ballad of Black Tom is a remix of, it has some really fucked up issues in regards to, like, racism, right? Like, he had issues with, like, you know, black people or like, people of color just being, like, quote-unquote scary. The mysticism, the, like, oh, man, like, you know, they've got these religions and all of that, and they're scary, which is ridiculous. But he, despite that, luckily his themes weren't just that, and that's why he's gotten so popular. If he was just racist, I mean, people would just throw his books out, including me. But I really enjoy the fact that Victor Laval took the horror at Red Hook and just kind of reimagined it or a new perspective onto the issues of black oppression in 1920s. And why Lovecraftian horror goes so well with black oppression is because the all-encompassing nature of it, and the fact that you feel like you don't have a say in your fate, especially in the 1920s as a black person, feels fucking Lovecraftian. It's like there's some outward, you know, entities just after you, and there's no way you can get around it, and they're just going to control your life no matter what you do. Is terrifying. And although it's Lovecraftian, it is very much analogical to many of the experiences of people of color, of people in the LGBTQIA plus community, of women, especially in a post-Roe v. world. So you want to talk about cosmic and all-encompassing horror? The horrors of today are just as terrible as Lovecraftian horror. So give it a look. Again, it's The Ballad of Black Tom by Victor Laval. It's a good read. Another good read is The Good House by Tannenreeve Du. Please just ignore this. Du, this is the synopsis, a leading voice in black horror, weaves a tale of a cursed family in a haunted house in this novel. The story blends traditional horror with African spiritual traditions, exploring generational trauma and ancestral connections. So Du is regarded as one of the most, like, the forefront of black horror writers. And The Good House, I think, is probably, like, one of the most standout works, and actually got nominated for the Bram Stoker Award, which, if y'all know who Bram Stoker is, he fucking wrote Dracula, so get with the fucking program. So the Bram Stoker Award is very important for horror people. The Good House is really excellent. And just like I was talking about earlier, we were talking about just kind of the folklore of, like, the black diaspora when it comes to horror. We're talking about, like, spiritual traditions and generational trauma and ancestral connection. The Good House is interesting because those themes often make me think about the horror of what it is to have your religion, which is kind of at the core of a lot of people's lives, just stripped away from you the moment you hit the shores of a new and scary place. I think as a black person, black woman, black whoever, one of the things that I think is really fascinating is that we were brought over to America. We had our traditions. We had traditions that spanned for thousands of years. And all of that was forcibly ripped from us in a place of religion that the oppressors, like, kind of just like shoved down our throats. Now, obviously, this isn't a bash on Christianity or anything like that, but I find it fascinating that that ended up leading to the Black community still being so very entrenched in Christianity to this day. Like, I sometimes wonder what that path actually looked like, because I know for a fact if someone kidnapped me and brought me somewhere where they were beating me and raping me and said, this is the way to the good path, and shoved this book in front of me, something I had never heard of before in my entire life, what would actually make me drawn to that? Is it because I was forced to do it? If I didn't do it, I got hit more? Maybe the belief of like, oh, I'm believing in this now, and because I am, I'm receiving less punishments. Maybe Christianity is a better way. I don't know. I think it's a really interesting topic, and something that I think Black on Black on Black could explore, like looking at the, you know, historical context of it. I definitely think Christianity has such an interesting foundational hold on Black Americans. And, you know, like, I definitely believe that there are some excellent things about so many different religions. And I just wonder, what was it in those instances of being captured and taken away and basically being tortured that allowed for Christianity to kind of enter that space? Maybe that was kind of their one way out. I also do believe that a good theory could be just a simple fact that many times they mixed up enslaved Africans and they tore them away from their families and mixed them with other people where they had no common language. Their culture was completely different. Maybe Christianity ended up being kind of the bridge between those gaps, right? Like, the Bible is written in English. They're learning English, like, you know, whenever they possibly could. They did not like for the slaves to read at all, but if they could, maybe that was one of the ways that they could possibly learn it. So I don't know. I definitely want to look into it because I think it's very fascinating, but I think about that when I think of The Good House. So definitely a big read, a great read. So yes. Okay. So Ring Shout by P. Jelly Clark. So this, another excellent book, is set in an alternate history where the Ku Klux Klan is not only a racist hate group, but also monstrous demons. Ring Shout is a powerful mix of historical fiction, cosmic horror, and Afrofuturism. So there we go. The Lovecraftianism, the cosmic horror. And so this novella actually won the Nebula Award and the Locust Award, and is praised for its imaginative blending of history and horror with strong social commentary. I mean, I don't think I need to say much about the fact that, like, the Ku Klux Klan and monstrous demons, yeah, that's a great trope for how the Ku Klux Klan, like, actually functioned in the South, just being a scary, deeply entrenched, horrible thing that just moved through the South, hurting, killing, maiming, raping people just because of how they look, is very much so something that monstrous demons would do. I also would like to point out that some of the things, as far as the themes in this novella, with the Ku Klux Klan and the monstrous demons, is that many people don't realize that some of the top leaders in the Ku Klux Klan, even to today, they're walking around with their grand robes and shit. Like, they're fucking policemen wearing their badges to work every fucking day. They're pastors, they're preachers, they're, you know, owners of tech companies. But no, I mean, really, they're everyday people. They're walking amongst you right now. So, like, the idea that you're surrounded by lurking demons ready to strike at any moment is very real and very apt for disenfranchised and underrepresented and oppressed minorities. So, again, an excellent novella. Of course, we got to give a good shout out to Get Out by Jordan Peele. This movie came out in 2017. It's a psychological horror that explores racism, appropriation, and exploitation through the lens of horror. Follows a young black man who uncovers a terrifying secret while visiting his white girlfriend's family. So this is a fucking huge hit. I mean, it won Jordan Peele the Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay, and that actually marked the new era of socially conscious horror, which you are seeing today. This was huge. I think this, to me, was a big turning point for, like, black horror on the screen. And I mean, I didn't know anyone who saw this film that it didn't blow their minds about just so much that was in it. The appropriation, the exploitation, the racism. I mean, any person of color who has dated a white person knows what it feels like to, like, go meet their family for the first time. You never know what you're going to run into. And yeah, that's definitely a worst case scenario for that guy. But it's very real, like the feeling, the dread, the what are they going to say, you know, the microaggressions, the real aggression that comes out after they're drinking. And you just, there's honest to goodness a fear, because you never really know what could happen to you in a really shitty way. So Get Out, shout out to Get Out for sure. Of course, you got to talk about Tales from the Hood by Rusty Cundiff. Okay, so this is a horror anthology. It was in 1995. It's like supernatural horror that, like, it's combined with racism, police brutality, gang violence. It's just a social commentary on, like, the black experience. And so each segment deals with issues that happen in black communities. And it, of course, it's horror, but also dark humor. And so this is actually a cult classic. Like, the Rotten Tomatoes on it probably isn't that high, but it's a great... It's almost like a foundation for Get Out, because it's black horror that's talking about societal issues. So I know you know, big memers out there, if you've ever seen that clip of Keith David where he's leaning over and he's like, "Welcome to hell, motherfucker," and he, like, laughs, like, that's from Tales from the Hood. But two, regardless, check them out. They're both hilarious and just kind of fun. So great movie from 1995. And my last shout out is from a TV show, Lovecraft Country by Misha Green. This came out in 2020. And so this is actually from a novel by Matt Ruff. And it explores, like, the 1955 Jim Crow era through supernatural horror, Lovecraftian horror, of course, aka cosmic horror and historical fiction. And so it follows, like, a black family that is dealing with monsters and societal oppression. And so this is a praise for its storytelling, performances, its blend of horror with historical realities. This was huge. And again, it's another one of those where people just took Lovecraft and Lovecraftian horror and made it its own, like, took out any sort of, like, racial subtext and said, like, racist subtext, and instead used the real issues and the terror of racism and integrated that into their horror. So, excellent show. If you haven't seen it, it's very easy to binge. Okay, yeah, and this is my last one. Them by Little Marvin. So it's an Amazon Prime series. It's about a black family in the 1950s who are terrorized by their racist neighbors and, of course, supernatural forces. So it addresses the psychological toll of racism using horror as a metaphor for systemic oppression. And so it's pretty graphic. If you've never seen it, it's pretty intense, but racism is pretty intense. So I would definitely check it out. It's on Amazon Prime. And again, what I love the most a lot about almost all of my recommendations is that the horror mimics the constant feeling of looking over your shoulder, feeling just this weight on you when you step out of your front door, when you wake up in the morning, when you're walking back at night, and, you know, in the dark of racism. Like, it is a constant. It doesn't leave you. It's just there. Like, I've asked many of my other friends, like, when in the day do you think about your black? Like, and most of the time the answer it's not until they leave the house. When I wake up in the morning, I don't say to myself, I'm black. I just exist. It isn't until you walk outside and the very real societal reactions to your existence is what tells you that you are black or you are non-white or you don't have the right hair or you don't have the right colored eyes or you don't have the right shape. It's fascinating as it is disgusting and terrible that that's what humans have decided to get so amped about in their lives. Like, the fucking planet is burning. Can we move on? But yeah, that is racism. You just want to exist in your own skin and y'all niggas will not let me. So those are my recommendations. Again, Them by Little Marvin, Lovecraft Country by Misha Green, Tales from the Hood by Rusty Cundiff, Get Out by Jordan Peele, Ring Shout by P. Jelly Clark, The Good House by let's just say their last name, and The Ballad of Black Tom by Victor Laval. So check those out. I think you'd really enjoy it. And why don't we listen to Dead Man's Tetris by Flying Lotus?
I bet she thinking that we dead. Hold up, I have this bullet in my head. Hold up, mama, what's them words you said?
Please keep still. guests have left behind. Just let them dance. We're gonna find a man's Lord in the
for pictures with ivory soap. I've petted stray dogs and shied clear of dope. My smile is brilliant. My glance is tender. But I'm noted most for my unspoiled gender. I've been made Miss Rheingold, though I never touch beer. And I'm the person to whom they say, "You're sweet, my dear." The only etchings I've seen have been behind glass. And the closest I've been to a bar was at ballet class. Prim and proper. The girl who's never been cased. Well, I'm tired of being pure and not chaste. Like something that seeks its level. I wanna go to the devil, wanna be evil. I wanna spit tax. I wanna be evil and cheat at jacks. I wanna be wicked. I wanna tell lies. I wanna be mean and throw mud pies. I want to wake up in the morning with that dark brown taste. I wanna see some dissipation in my face. I wanna be evil. I wanna be mad, but more than that, I wanna be bad. I wanna be evil and trump an ace, just to see my partner's face. I wanna be nasty, I wanna be cruel, I wanna be daring. I wanna shoot pool, and in the theater, I want to change my seat, just so I can step on everybody's feet. I wanna be evil, I wanna hurt for lies, I wanna sing songs like the guy who cries, I wanna be horrid. And whatever I've got, I am eager to lose. I wanna be evil, little evil me, just as mean and evil as I can be.
Mansion on an old forgotten road where the better ghosts and goblins always hang out. One night they threw a party in a manner a la mode, and they cordially invited all the gang out. At a dark bewitching hour when the fun was loud and hearty, a notorious wallflower became the life of the party. The spooks were having their midnight fling. The merrymaking was in full swing. They rigged themselves into a cheerful train. When the skeleton in the closet started to dance, now a goblin giggled with fiendish glee. A shout rang out from a big banshee. Amazement was in every ghostly glance. When the skeleton in the closet started to dance, all the witches were in stitches while his steps made rhythmic thumps, and they nearly dropped their broomstick when he tried to do the bumps. You never heard such an ugly laughter, such hilarious groan. When skeleton in closet rattled his bones. Mm-hmm.
was yellow and the night was young. Us small brothers together, and I was wondering whether we'd meet again someday. The moon was yellow and a song was sung. That vocal inspiration gave me the inclination to give my heart to you. Behold, the moon is yellow and the night is yellow. Here we are. Is our romance to continue? Will it be my luck to win you? May I look that far? Cupid fellow, behold the moon is yellow and the night is yellow.
And you're back listening to Black on Black on Black. Thank you for tuning in for our special spooky episode. Just want to go ahead and give a shout out again to the events that are happening in this community this weekend or this week. So you got League of the Pissed Off Voters. They've got a gay bar tour on October 24th at High Tops. You meet there at 6 p.m. this Thursday in Mission Delirium. And Banda Sin Nombre is this Saturday with the Wyatt Act, with Drag by Mama Dora, La Katia, Clint Taurus, October 26th from 2:30 to 6 p.m. at TGPA's Sales Force Park. Thank you for tuning in for Black on Black on Black. I hope you have a wonderfully delicious spooky season. Coming up, we've got Hell's Kitchen by John Hell. Whatever he's in the mood for, whether it's punk, fuck, or junk, you're sure to get an earful of hell with John Hell. He is a musical force to be reckoned with. He will be just after our show. And we're going to play you out with, what could be more classic than The Freaks Come Out at Night? See you next Monday.
And it ain't till 12 till the party really starts. And I always had to be home by 10, right before the fun was about to begin. Crowds of people lined up inside and out, just for one reason, to rock the house. But in the daytime, the streets were clear. You couldn't find a good freak anywhere, cause
the freaks come out at night. The freaks come out at night. The freaks come out at night.
Freaks come out.
The freaks come out at night.
Now when freaks get dressed to go out at night, they like to wear leather jackets, chains and spikes. They wear rips and zippers all in their shirts.
real tight pants, fresh mini skirts, all kinds of colors running through their hair, and you could just about spot a freak anywhere. But then again, you could know someone all their life, but might not know they're a freak unless you see them at night, cause
freaks come out at night, freaks come out at night, freaks come out at night,
freaks come out,
freaks come out at night,
freaks come out at night,
freaks come out at night.
Jumping, the place is packed, and when the crowd's like this, I'm ready to rap. But before I could buzz around on the mic, freaks are all over me like white on rice. Freaks come in all shapes, sizes, and colors, but what I like about them most is that they're real good lovers. They do it in the park, they do it in the dark, but most freaks are known for breaking hearts. You can never tell what a freak is thinking of, and you may never catch a freak without at least one glove. They don't walk, when they step, they strut, and nine times out of ten, they drive you nuts. So take